Next up, we're going to be chatting to Dewald van Rensburg. Now, he's with Amar Bongani, an investigative journalist. And he's written a very interesting piece on Iqbal's survey. How Survey Robs Peter to Pay Paul is the title of this particular article. And I'd love to just find out more about this particular article. Iqbal Survey's embattled businesses have quietly, according to this article, redirected money from, they've scored from the PIC to apparently pay independent newspaper staff, pay of luxury properties, etc. But just to give you some insight into this, because remember, when you're into journalism, you need to deal with objective facts, hopefully, right? And anybody who prints a headline like this, how Survey robs Peter to pay Paul, must be sure of their stuff, because Mr. Survey's got money, he's got lawyers, and he could take you on. But if you have objective facts, you can defend yourself in court as well, and in the court of public opinion by sharing those facts. So, Dewald van Rensburg, good morning. Good to have you on the show.
Hi, Kino. It's good to be here.
So, give us an insight into this. I'm gonna do an idiot's guide to Iqbal Survey this morning. And when I say an idiot's guide to Iqbal Survey, I'm talking about everything that we might have heard by chance, heard other people speak about, etc., etc. Where do we start with unpacking this robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Okay, so by way of background, there are two important role players. So one is Survey, who has a company called Sekunjalo Investment Holdings. That's his personal investment company. On the other hand, you have the Public Investment Corporation, which I'm sure you know, manages state pensioners' funds.
Yeah.
Now, Survey's main asset, the one he's known for, is independent newspapers. He bought that with a loan from the PIC in 2013, a controlling shareholding. Mm-hmm. The problem is that he can't pay that debt, and he has already defaulted on it. So he's sitting with, I think, about 600 million rand he owes them. And for the last 2 years, he has tried very hard to get the PIC to give him more money with which to pay the PIC back, which amounts to getting your debt erased, which would be a fairly absurd thing for the PIC to do.
Yeah.
Now, he has been successful and unsuccessful doing this. So the method he employed was to try and list on the JSE two different companies. One was Sagamata Technologies, which never went ahead because the JSE raised concerns. The whole plan there was that he would get 7 billion rand and he would buy independent, and pay off its debt, which again, that would be an absurd situation.
Yeah.
But what he did succeed with is to list another company called IO Technology Solutions, for which the PIC gave him 4 billion rand. Now, since then, what you've seen IO do with that money is largely transactions that benefit other survey companies. I've written about this before. I think it's not all that controversial. It's well documented in the annual reports and so on.
Yes.
But now this week's story takes it a little further. So what we're finding is that IO has also spent some of that PIC money to start supporting independent. And it does this through two avenues that we know of. And the one is the paying of the staff. Now, this is not the first time I think some people have heard about this. We've had a couple of tip-offs in the past. It's been a rumor for some time. What we now have is an actual payroll document, which I believe to be fully authentic, that shows that independent staff are sitting on IO's payroll, which obviously then lowers the cost of running independent and helps it along not to incur more debt.
Oh, geez.
And so the second thing is that we've seen a part of independent spun out of one survey company, out of independent, and put into another company, which then gets funded by IO to provide services back to independent. So again, that's using the PIC money in IO to provide services to independent.
Mm.
And IO and independent are completely separate
entities.
There's no defensible reason they should be involved with each other's business, really. And so that's the long and short of the
argument. I mean, wouldn't that amount to fraudulent behavior almost? Because remember, you've got your shareholders. You have to release your financial statements. Those financial statements need to be accurate, so your balance sheet, whether we're talking about your P&L or your income statement, When you start moving the deck chairs to create an impression that things are looking okay, wouldn't that border on fraud?
Well, I'm not sure it legally amounts to fraud.
Mm.
But what you are obliged by regulations in terms of the JSE and, you know, accounting principles to declare this kind of thing.
Mm.
Now, what they would say is, no, auditors cleared our latest results at IO. But, you know, I would argue auditors are not infallible, and they've had a lot of problems with their audits.
Mm.
JSE has taken a very unusual step to kind of force them to re-audit their intern results,
mm.
their 6 month results,
mm.
which in the normal course of business, no one is obliged to do.
Yeah.
So that itself is kind of peculiar. And, I mean, it's not just that. I mean, there are also things they do declare that are kind of, you know, suspect, I would say. If not suspect, then not particularly defensible, which mm. is this thing where they pay rent to other companies Survey owns, which in turn only own private properties. These aren't offices.
Mm.
They fund other companies within the group. I don't know, for some reason they're paying millions to Premier Fishing for something. And I'm not sure what they're buying from mm. Premier Fishing, but that's a declared related party transaction in results as well. So these companies have a fairly incestuous relationship, and they always have had,
mm.
even though the only thing they have in common is an alternate indirect controlling shareholder, which is Sekhondjalo, which is Equal Survey.
Mm, mm. So why would people care if he's not breaking the law?
Well, he may very well be breaking the law.
Yeah. Well, you see, and this is the point I made, Diewald. If I shuffle the deck chairs and I make my income statements look like X, and I now generate money based on that, I generate investment based on that, you're looking at something similar to what Marcus Huster did.
Yes, you are. You are looking at something similar to it. It's the hiding of cost, disguising of cost, disguising of cost.
Mm.
It looks like that kind of thing. I mean, I would think someone more competent than me could get
into the
legal, the legal interpretation of what it is.
Yeah.
But it certainly isn't good corporate governance, and it is being done with pensioners' funds.
Yeah.
Which in and of itself makes it an issue of public interest, and it's the largest newspaper publisher
in the country.
In the country, we need to kind of be careful about how it is run.
Exactly.
It's a private company, but a media company,
yes,
I think, has a special role in society and should be open to scrutiny in a special way as well.
Agreed. Now, Diewald, we'll have time for that. As a journalist, you'd appreciate that we have news to do, and it's the editor, by the way, so we're already a minute late. So time for...